It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Podcast for week 10 in the NFL. I'm doing pretty good in all my leagues. I know you guys all care so much. Fantasy Feast is so nice. We do it twice, and we are presented by FanVice.com, your one-stop shop for all your daily fantasy sports needs. FanVice has great tools, articles, even live streaming video casts. Make sure you follow them on Twitter, at FanVice DFS, and check out the site, FanVice.com. Evan, I am fired up about how I'm doing in all my leagues. Reality Sports Online League, the MFL 10, the season-long feast, all the leagues that we gave out entries to for diehard Fantasy Feast listeners that sent sponsor confirmations, I am rolling, and I credit you quite a bit, my friend. So let's keep it going. Looking forward to getting your defensive streamers, quarterback streamers, tight end streamers again this week. We will, of course, recap those at the end of part two as well. A lot to get to, a lot of games to break down. I don't like to get you off your game when you get on a roll, Evan. So I'll first mention that Indochinos.com is awesome. Indochino.com. You should get yourself one of these, Evan. It is very, very cool. It is custom-made suits at a fraction of the price. Like, you can get a premium Indochino suit this week for just $389 at Indochino.com when you enter Feast at checkout. Just so you know how to spell it, it's Indochino.com. It's really easy. They send you a tape measure. You have somebody measure you. I had our nanny that watches the girls when my wife and I are both working. She measured me. I sent in my measurements. I chose my customizations, lapel, pleats, all that stuff. And boom, I should be getting my shipment any day. In fact, I think I might actually be getting it today. Very, very cool. Again, Indochino.com, promo code FEAST for any premium suit for just $389 and free shipping. Get ready to look like $1 million. All right, Evan, as always, we will start with the Thursday nighter. It is the Cleveland Browns hosting the Baltimore Ravens. Neither one of these teams had exactly stellar offensive performances on Sunday. How do you see this one playing out?
I mean, it's a good spot for Ravens skill position players. I mean, the Browns don't have a good run or pass defense at this point. Don't get pressure on the quarterback. I mean, they're getting trampled with the run on a weekly basis at this point. All but one quarterback to have faced the Browns this season, Ryan Fitzpatrick, was the lone exception. They faced 9 quarterbacks this year. 8 of them have thrown multiple touchdown passes, including Joe Flacco in week 2. So although Joe Flacco has been bad in fantasy this year, he makes sense as a streamer and is probably one of the top streamer plays on the week. I mean, the Ravens are 10-point favorites at home in this spot. They should be able to score some points here. The backfield rotation for the Ravens has been frustrating and will likely continue to be. I mean, it seems like they just don't have any interest in committing to Terrence West, even though he's been their best runner over the course of the year. They are insistent on using Kenneth Dixon, who has 29 yards on 20 touches this year. I still think that it would be almost hard for Terrence West to not have a good game against the Browns. I don't really think that Kenneth Dixon is usable, but you know, some people are in deep leagues and dude should get like 9 to 12 touches against a really poor opponent. And so, you know, I guess he makes sense. I think that Steve Smith should be should have a big game. He's running the most slot routes on the Ravens this year, and the Browns have just been getting killed by slot receiver and slot receivers. I mean, dating back to week one, Jordan Matthews had a monster game against them. Quincy Enunwa had a big game against them. Cole Beasley last week. The list goes on. And then Mike Wallace, you know, he is the Ravens' big play receiver. His 94-yard touchdown actually was not a deep ball last week. But he's kind of established himself as an every week third receiver in fantasy who can give you some upside weeks. Dennis Pitta also, I mean, again, you know, it's a good matchup for everybody on the Ravens.
What about on the Brown side of it, Evan? I guess it'll be Kessler, a quarterback again. Terrell Pryor seems to find a way to be able to get a touchdown in these games at least.
Yeah, I mean, Kessler has played four games start to finish, and Pryor has been a stud in fantasy in all four of those games. So, you know, not beginning to doubt him now. Corey Coleman came back and played like 90% of the Browns' offensive snaps last week. He had a monster game in week two against the Ravens. Beat Jimmy Smith, the Ravens' top corner, for a touchdown. Got most of his production against Sharice Wright, who has since been benched by the Ravens. But, I mean, you know, Corey Coleman is a guy that I would be willing to start in a season-long league. Gary Barnage, you know, with Corey Coleman coming back, he's a little bit difficult to trust, and the Ravens are always good against the tight end, especially this year with Eric Weddle. The running backs, you know, the Browns' running game has just come unhinged since they lost Joel Bitonio, and then last week they lost their center too, Cameron Irving. The Ravens have one of the best run defenses in football. I realize that Isaiah Crowell in the week two game ripped off an untouched 85-yard touchdown run, but he was not successful on the ground other than that, and the Ravens have the best run defense in the game. So hard to imagine using Isaiah Crowell without a lot of concern. The Ravens have given up the 10th most receptions to running backs, so not a bad spot for Duke Johnson if you want to use him in a PPR league.
Let's move on to Kansas City and Carolina. Looks like Alex Smith will be back for the Chiefs. Carolina's defense playing better. Their offense, though, got slowed down by that Rams defense. Now it's Chiefs-Carolina. At least on the surface, it wouldn't seem like a great fantasy game, Evan.
Yeah, not on the surface maybe, but we have Jeremy Maclin out. I mean, I don't expect him to play based on the early week rhetoric. He lasted two plays last week, and I mean, it sounds like a multi-week groin injury at this point. So that frees up a lot of opportunity. Travis Kelce, I think, should be a popular daily fantasy play this week. The Panthers will just take away your running game. They've done that to David Johnson and Todd Gurley in back-to-back games and force you to rack up completions. And this should be like a game where Travis Kelce sees like 10 or 12 targets, which is something that we always want him to see. But it just doesn't really come together like that in the Chiefs due to the Chiefs' style of offense. But I think they're going to have to play that way this week. I do expect Spencer Ware back. The matchup is brutal, but last week, Sharkhandrick West just flopping in such a good spot kind of, you know, shows you how valuable Spencer Ware is to this offense. I think that Alex Smith is an okay, not great streamer. The Panthers' defense has been playing a lot better since their bye. I mean, I still think that they have a lot of vulnerabilities in the secondary, but you know, they've been getting pressure on the quarterback, which is something that they struggled to do in their first six games. Tyreek Hill, I think, is interesting as a dart throw this week if Macklin is out, which I fully expect him to be. Tyreek Hill runs 4.28. He's a manufactured touch player who they will give rushing attempts to. They will throw him screens. I've seen him run deep routes and catch them. So he's pretty interesting. And then the other guys are Chris Conley and Albert Wilson to round out the three receiver set. I think that those guys to different degrees are a little bit interesting. But if you're really trying to hit a home run, I think you run with Tyreek Hill.
What about Carolina offensively?
Yeah, you know, I think that people still think of this Chiefs defense as really good, and I'm not worried about it. They get smashed by the run. They don't get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. They've got D Ford, who actually has 9 sacks. But other than that, I mean, they don't have any other areas where they bring pressure from. They are vulnerable in the secondary, with the exception of Eric Berry and to a little bit lesser degree, Marcus Peters. Marcus Peters did give up a long catch to Marquise Lee last week and a bunch of short catches to Philip Dorsett the week before. I mean, he makes a lot of plays, but he also gives up a lot of plays. And Kelvin Benjamin runs most of his routes on the other side of the field anyways. Marcus Peters never moves from left cornerback. So I love the way that this game sets up for Kelvin Benjamin, because the Chiefs they routinely shut down the opposing tight end, and I think that they should be able to slow down Greg Olsen. And I think that there should be a lot of openings for Kelvin Benjamin. We haven't seen Kelvin Benjamin have a monster game recently, but he does have 70 plus yards and or a touchdown in all but one of his games this year. So he's been pretty consistent, and I think that this could be a big game spot for him. Mention how the Chiefs have struggled on the ground in terms of run defense. I mean, Chris Ivory and TJ Yeldon ran all over him last week. Just the latest example. So good matchup for Jonathan Stewart. And Cam has been a little bit disappointing in fantasy, just the way that the last few games have gone. In week 7, week 8 against the Cardinals, they dominated with their defense. I mean, their defense was scoring touchdowns and Jonathan Stewart on the ground. And then last week was just kind of like a punt fest in Los Angeles, which was kind of predictable. Like a slow-paced punt fest. I think that Cam Newton is an awesome daily fantasy play this week. I think that I think that his ownership percentage will be relatively low, and people won't want to click him because he's facing the Chiefs. So I love Cam Newton and Kelvin Benjamin this week in daily fantasy.
What about Brock Osweiler and Blake Bortles, Evan? Do you like those guys in daily fantasy?
No. People wanted to play Brock Osweiler a couple weeks ago against the Lions. That did not work out. I think that this is a good spot for Lamar Miller. The Jaguars at this point are 27th in run defense DVOA. Just nothing really to fear about them. I think that last year, Blake Bortles, when he faced the Texans, had combined for 6 turnovers. So I think the Texans' defense coming off a bye against a just lost quarterback is pretty interesting this week, and they may have hit some waiver wires. Potentially a defense that you could pick up and use in season long. Will Fuller missed the first practice of the week with a hamstring injury. My guess is that he's going to be fine, but that's a situation to monitor. We just have to lower expectations at this point for DeAndre Hopkins. The quarterback play is down, and Brock Osweiler is worse than Brian Hoyer for sure. And the Texans, I mean, he's not getting the targets that he saw last year. I mean, his targets have not been bad, but I mean, there were games last year where he'd see like 15, 16, 17, 18 targets, and that's not going to happen this year, especially with CJ Fedorowicz coming on. Lamar Miller, probably my favorite play on the Texans side. Had the bye week to rest that shoulder injury that kind of bothered him in the two games before that. Still had a bunch of touches in the game before the bye, and I would expect him to be back near a full workload in a good matchup against the Jags.
What about on the other side with the Jags offense against that Texans defense?
Yeah, Texans have a pretty good defense. I think they're vulnerable at times on the ground. And what we saw last week in Nathaniel Hackett's first game as the Jaguars OC was a lot more commitment to the running game. Chris Ivory had, I think, 18 carries. TJ Yeldon came out of it with 12 touches. And, I mean, that's a sensible approach when you have a young, struggling quarterback. TJ Yeldon still outsnapped Chris Ivory, and it is very much a timeshare in a bad offense. And that is going to lead to frustration for sure. I mean, I don't think that Chris Ivory has, like, all of a sudden arrived. But, you know, he makes sense as a guy who, I mean, he was on the waiver wire in a lot of fantasy leagues heading into last week. And so I think that if you need running back help, it makes sense to grab Chris Ivory in, you know, not a bad matchup and on a team that is going to want to run the football more. Matchups are never good for wide receivers against the Texans. They have strong cornerback play, even after losing Kevin Johnson. The kid A.J. Bouye has been really good for them. And as has, Jonathan Joseph has long been one of the better cornerbacks in the league. And he's still got Kareem Jackson. So, you know, the matchup is not great on paper. But if Allen Hurns is out, then that could translate to some more opportunity for Allen Robinson, who we saw him finally make some plays last week. The targets have been there for him all year. The red zone usage has been there for him all year. And also the Texans shut down tight ends as well. So the game looks like it could add up to a lot of work for Allen Robinson in particular. That's where I am with the Jaguars, though.
Let's talk Saints, Broncos. Broncos are having a tough time stopping the run. Evan, I already liked them Sunday night. I fell in love with the Raiders O-line. It kind of reminds me of some of those Larry Allen, Nate Newton, 2-1-A, Eric Williams O-lines. I'm not saying they're that good, but they're not out there just blocking people. I mean, they're out there really trying to punish people. It was awesome. Do you think that bodes well for Hightower and Ingram against the Broncos defense, which also probably won't have Derek Wolfe?
Yeah, it looks like no Derek Wolfe and Akeem Talib. At this point, you know, we don't fear the Broncos' run defense at all whatsoever. I mean, they had issues early in the season with run defense. I mean, beginning in the first game, it was apparent that they were getting moved on the interior. And it's just gotten worse. And it's going to keep getting worse without Derek Wolfe, for sure. So I think that Hightower and Ingram are both usable. You know, we talked last week about really don't worry about Mark Ingram. He's going to be fine. And he was. He ripped it up. He was a number two overall fantasy running back against San Francisco. And now, I mean, this is a good matchup. I know we see Denver on the sheet and think it's bad, but it's not. It's a good one for both Ingram and Hightower. Drew Brees, you know, it's never easy matching up with the Broncos, but Drew Brees has been lights out all year in fantasy, on the road and at home. I mean, he's accounted for multiple touchdowns in 7 of 8 games. And the Broncos are going to, I mean, you can hit some throws against them. I don't think that Breeze is going to go light them up for 350. But, I mean, I think he can come out of this game with like 270 and a couple of scores. And that would be good in season long. I'm probably not going to be on him in daily fantasy, where he would be like a real contrarian play. I don't think the matchup is good enough. And the Saints, it also looks like they're going to be without Teron Armstead, who has missed time this year anyway. But you know, I don't like that, especially against the Broncos pass rush. For all the Broncos run defense deficiencies, I mean, they can still really get after the quarterback. And they have really good defensive back play, even with Tlaib out. I mean, Lorenzo Doss has not been a major liability through two games. With the receiver core, it's just you're betting on they play with a good quarterback. They play on what is generally a pass-first team, although they've really taken on a run-first look over the last 2 weeks. The home splits for all these dudes. The Brandon Cooks has them most severe. He has scored 13 of his 18 career touchdowns in home games. This game will, of course, be at the Superdome. Willie Snead has not making big plays. He's just kind of a possession receiver at this time. And Michael Thomas emerging as quietly the Saints' number one receiver has been a detriment to Willie Snead's fantasy value. I mean, Michael Thomas leads the Saints in targets and receptions on the year, also leads them in red zone targets and targets inside the 10-yard line. Are the matchups good for these perimeter receivers? No. Betting on Saints players at home will work out for you over the course of time for sure.
What about the Broncos offensively? Kubiak kind of sounded a little iffy with Trevor Siemian this week.
Yeah, I think he sounded like that for a couple weeks. I don't know. I think that they would have a real question if Paxton Lynch had played better than he did in that Atlanta game. So I think we're going to see them stick it out with Trevor Siemian for another week at least. The Saints defense got just smeared by Colin Kaepernick last week. He had like almost 300 yards passing at halftime. So I don't know if I would run toward Trevor Siemian as a streamer. However, I mean, he has not been good in fantasy, even in good matchups. I remember a lot of people wanted to play him against the Colts early in the year, and he didn't really do anything. He wasn't great against the Raiders last week. He did have that monster game against Cincinnati, but that has been a severe outlier over the course of his season. I would rather stream Joe Flacco, and I would rather stream Alex Smith than Trevor Siemian this week. The matchups obviously are good for both of the receivers, and the running game is an issue right now. To the point where some beat writers are speculating that Capri Bibbs may start to get work at the expense of Devontae Booker, who's been super ineffective. It's almost like he'll take the handoff and just go like lay on the pile. I mean, I don't. It's crazy that he looked awesome as the 1B back to C.J. Anderson's 1A for several weeks, and now he has been pretty much a total flop as the Broncos feature back in a role that he should thrive. I'm still going to be starting him in my season-long leagues this week. I mean, I own a lot of Devontae Booker, and I'm starting him against the Saints. This is a situation we have to keep tabs on, and I don't think it's crazy to put Capri Bibbs at the end of your bench. C.J. Anderson is not coming back this year.
Let's talk Rams-Jets, where as of when we're recording this Wednesday morning, Case Keenum will start for the Rams again. Jared Goff is still not ready, according to Jeff Fisher, which is just a great sign for him and them moving forward. And Ryan Fitzpatrick likely to try to practice Friday and play in the game. Let's assume for our purposes that Fitz does play. You buying a lot of players in this Rams-Jets game?
Nah. I mean, we can look at Kenny Britt. I think it's a good matchup for Kenny Britt. I watched the Rams game, and then someone asked me about Tavon Austin, and then I was like, and then I thought about what he did the week prior, and I was like, did I not watch the Rams game? And then I looked up his box score. He had one catch for 12 yards. I mean, he's just, I can't use guys like that. You know, people always want to use Tavon Austin in fantasy. Like that's not for me. You know, maybe that's for you. I'm not going to do that. The Jets have been getting lit up by tight ends pretty much all season. And Lance Kendricks has taken on a big role for the Rams. Last week, he had, I think, 7 catches. And he also had a touchdown that he dropped. But, I mean, he's getting looks down near scoring position. So he makes sense as a streamer this week. Again, good matchup for Britt. Brian Quick had made some big plays last week against the Panthers, and he's an ascending player. I mean, he's a guy who at this point is playing 70% of the Rams' offensive snaps, and if you need receiver help, I mean, he's making plays, man, and he's been consistent, and this is a contract year for him. He's always been a talented dude. He was drafted, I think, 33rd overall out of Appalachian State, and you know, he's like a fringe third, fourth receiver in fantasy, but not a bad third receiver in fantasy at all. On the other side, you know, I think it's Brandon Marshall and Matt Forte. And then Quincy Enunwa has just been so up and down. You know, I was thinking last week that we could start to trust him. He'd seen a lot of volume in consecutive games and then really does nothing. You know, with Quincy Enunwa, you're just going to have to deal with the ups and downs. Matt Forte, you know the work is going to be there. He's running, I think, better now than he was in the first few games. He's running better now for sure than he was for about that month-long stretch where he was on the injury report with a knee injury. You know, Brandon Marshall has been a little frustrating. He had 2 near touchdowns last week, and as someone who had him in a lot of DFS lineups, that was, you know, disappointing. But, I mean, he's going to get the looks, and in season long, he always makes sense as a good fantasy start.
Let's talk about the next game, Evan, and it is the Falcons and the Eagles, Battle of the Birds. A lot of news in this one. Let's start with the Falcons. Yes, of course, the Eagles have a pretty good pass rush, but the Falcons' O-line is pretty good. I still think this is going to be a big game for Julio Jones. They find a way to get him the ball, and Leodis McKelvin got torched last week.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, Kyle Shanahan has kind of been like a game plan coach this year, to where he is going to attack your weaknesses. And, I mean, that sounds simplistic to us, but a lot of coaches don't coach like that. I mean, Bill Belichick coaches like that, but, you know, a lot of coaches just go out and run their offense. But Kyle Shanahan this year has been a coach that will attack your weaknesses. I mean, you know, one game that sticks out like that was when he used Tevin Coleman to attack the Broncos inside linebackers, and the Falcons had a good offensive day in Denver. So what are the Eagles' weaknesses? Cornerback play. And I would expect the Falcons to get the ball to their wide receivers in this game. Mohamed Sanu early in the year dealt with a separated shoulder. He was playing through a dislocated shoulder. He was playing through that injury. So that kind of probably explains why he had a bunch of games in a row where he just didn't do a whole lot. But he started to really come on and be a major factor for them. The matchup is good for him. He runs a lot of slot routes. Should get a lot of work against the rookie Jalen Mills, who has Pro Football Focus's worst coverage grade out of 117 cornerbacks. Good matchup for him. Great matchup for Julio Jones. Julio Jones has 100-plus yards and or a touchdown in 10 of his last 13 games dating back to last year. He will match up with Nolan Carroll and Leotis McKelvin. And, I mean, that's, you know, those are matchups that he should win. Julio always gets nicked up, or he seemingly is always dealing with some injury that has him limping on the field. But he's coming off 10 days rest after that Thursday night win. So, you know, this should be about as fresh as we get Julio the rest of the way. I don't think that Tevin Coleman is going to play. You know, I'm sure that when we post the Fantasy Feast, he will have returned to full practice. But my guess as we are recording this on Wednesday morning is that Tevin Coleman won't be back. The Falcons have a bye next week, and I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense to play him, especially when Teron Ward has kind of held his own in that role, and they can lean heavily on Devonta Freeman. Don't like to use tight ends against the Eagles, so even if Tammy is out, I'm not running back to Austin Hooper. Loved him last week, a little bit more down on him this week.
What about the Eagles on offense, where Doug Peterson made what we all realized pretty obvious and pretty clear, that Darren Sproles is the number one running back?
Right. Well, the Falcons have given up, I think, the most catches and the second most receiving yards to opposing running backs. So that is good news for Darren Sproles. I kind of like Carson Wentz this week. And I mean, he has not been good in fantasy for an extended period. But the Falcons will score points on you. And I realize that the Eagles have a good defense. But the Falcons have scored points at Denver and at Seattle. So I think that they'll be able to have success at Philly. And the Falcons face the second most pass attempts per game in the NFL. So I think that we will get a good amount of volume out of Carson Wentz. And I like the matchups that he has in the pass catcher core. Zach Ertz came alive last week. I think that Zach Ertz has to be a thing for the Eagles. You know, some people think he's overrated, whatever. The Eagles need Zach Ertz to be a weekly factor. I mean, their wide receivers, their perimeter wide receivers, are the worst in football. So they need Zach Ertz to be a thing. And it looks like there's going to be no Desmond Trufant, who has been known to run into the slot and cover opposing number ones. I mean, he did that against Doug Baldwin. So I think the matchups are good here for Jordan Matthews and for Zach Ertz. And then they, you know, they got a little deep threat out of the kid Bryce Treggs, little undrafted rookie out of Cal, runs 4.39 and caught a deep ball last week. So I think that Carson Wentz can have a good game against the Falcons. The issue is that the Falcons pass rush has started to heat up a lot, and the Eagles pass protection has not been great recently, you know, due to a bunch of offensive line losses. But I think that Carson Wentz is right in that streamer pool with Joe Flacco and those guys. And I think he's a definite start in two quarterback leagues and not a bad streamer this week. And I think he's kind of interesting in DFS too, even though he has not been putting up a lot of points recently.
Evan, Chicago is at Tampa Bay. Last time out, we got a lot of production from Jordan Howard, and Jay Cutler looked pretty good. They're coming off a bye. The Bucs coming off of a long break. How do you see this one playing out?
I think it's a good spot for Alshon Jeffrey in particular. He should be really popular in daily fantasy this week. He has come through in every game that Jay Cutler has started this year. I mean, Cutler was forcing him the rock, even in Xavier Rhodes coverage last week. Like to see that. I mean, Did you watch that Monday night game, the Bears-Vikings game?
I did, yeah.
Jay Cutler's on the sideline, like, encouraging his teammates and stuff. I mean, that was amazing. I mean, that's I've never seen him do that. Have you ever seen him do that?
I haven't seen it like that. No, I mean, I'm sure he's done it, but not so visibly.
Yeah, like aggressively doing it. I don't know. I mean, maybe he knows he's gone after this year, and he's like, you know what? My best option is to go ball best I can. And, you know, this will get me another contract. I mean, dude has had like a bunch of big contracts in the NFL. He could probably get another one from a quarterback desperate team, especially if he plays well down the stretch. I think he just feeds Alshon and Zach Miller. Jordan Howard looked incredible against the Vikings, both in the run game and the pass game. I mean, this is a dude who had like 11 receptions in his college career, and he has become a legitimate factor in the passing game for the Bears. I don't think we can really use Cameron Meredith anymore, especially with Eddie Royal coming back. But Alshon, Zach Miller, Jordan Howard are good fantasy plays. I don't think that Jay Cutler is a crazy fantasy play either against the Bucs. I mean, the Bucs just hemorrhage fantasy points to quarterbacks. I think I would go with Flacco over Jay Cutler this week. But I mean, those are the kind of decisions that you're making when you're looking into streamers. I think I would go Flacco, Wentz, Cutler.
Got it. All right. What about for the Bucs offensively?
So, Quiz Rogers out, or likely out. Doug Martin, very likely out. Anto Smith out for the year. So, that leaves us with Peyton Barber, who is 5'10", 228, runs like 4'6", drew some comparisons to Alfred Morris coming out of college. And he is going to be your lead back, I think, over Mike James and Russell Hansbrough. Russell Hansbrough is a little undrafted rookie out of Missouri. It's like a scat back. And Mike James is a guy who has always kind of interested me ever since he had, you know, there was a game where he ran all over the Seahawks as a rookie with the Bucks. And he's always intrigued me since then, but he just has not been able to stay on the field or get on the field in a bunch of different spots. So I think that the Bucks are going to go with Peyton Barber. I mean, he was pretty much their lead back last week against the Falcons anyway. And so if you need like a spot start running back, he makes sense. I mean, Dirk Cutter has shown a willingness to ride guys hard who, you know, you wouldn't look at that guy and be like, you know, you wouldn't look at Jacquizz Rodgers and be like, oh, well, that's a guy who should get 35 touches this week. You know, so that I think that's good news for Peyton Barber. The Bears are getting back Eddie Goldman, their stud, run-stuffing nose tackle. And they haven't been that bad against the run this year. I mean, they're allowing 3.89 yards per carry to opposing running backs. So it's not a great, great matchup for Peyton Barber. I think what you're counting on is the volume. Mike Evans has been a monster this year. You know, I think we all know that by now. He apparently suffered a concussion in the last game, but it was already practicing on Monday, so he should be ready to roll against the Bears. He's an awesome fantasy play every single week. I think he's still underpriced in daily fantasy. He should be priced as maybe the top overall receiver. I mean, he leads the NFL in targets and touchdown catches. You know, what more do you have to do to become the top-priced wide receiver? And so that makes Mike Evans a value. Cameron Brate is like a touchdown or bust tight end streamer. Doesn't play all the snaps. Doesn't get a lot of targets or yards, but he's used in the red zone. And, I mean, he catches TDs. He's got one in consecutive games now. So then the complimentary receivers, I'm just kind of not waving all of them. Russell Shepard should be back, and it'll be Adam Humphries and Cecil Shorts, and I don't want any of them. Jameis Winston, I think, is a solid fantasy start. He's been a little bit more consistent lately. I mean, he still plays with an erratic kind of aura about him because he is kind of like a gambling gunslinger. But in terms of his fantasy results, he's been a little bit more consistent lately. And I think he's a solid play against the Bears.
Moving on, Green Bay is in Tennessee, where the Titans didn't run the ball all that well, Evan, but they still found a way to put up a decent amount of points on the road in San Diego. What do you think about them against Green Bay?
Yeah, DeMarco Murray didn't get a lot of room. He's also playing through a toe injury. I mean, the Titans don't have their bye until week 13. How ridiculous is that? You know, this roster could use some time off, I think, but they were competitive last week. You know, Marcus Mariota's on-field play, I think, continues to be kind of inconsistent with his fantasy results. I mean, last week, I think he finishes like a top-five fantasy quarterback, but I mean, he threw two pick sixes. And we've talked about that in the past, but, you know, it's to the point where it just doesn't matter. He's been really good in fantasy every single week. I mean, I own him in a couple season-long leagues. I'm starting him every week. You know, I'm starting him over Matthew Stafford. Or I have been. Stafford is on a bye this week, of course. But, I mean, he's – you know, Marcus Mariota gives you a lot of upside. It's almost like he is instinctive in the red zone. He does not make mistakes in the red zone. And he would just pile up short touchdowns, whether it is rushing or, you know, just getting the ball to the right guy, Rashard Matthews, Delaney. And this is a good matchup for him, too. I mean, I think this game has, like, some high-scoring potential against the Packers. Clay Matthews didn't even play last week. He's been banged up. So that limits the Packers' pass rush. And we know about their depleted secondary. So really good spot for Marcus Mariota. Rashard Matthews is a legit thing and a good fantasy start against the Packers. He is the only Titans receiver who's playing full-time snaps. He has five touchdowns over his last five games. Not necessarily a big play receiver, but a good receiver. And, you know, somebody that we liked before the season. But, you know, it kind of came together for him slowly as the Titans were really insistent on using Tajae Sharpe as their number one and, you know, playing Andre Johnson, et cetera. But Rashard Matthews is, you know, the cream tends to rise to the top, and Rashard Matthews is the cream here, and he is a solid fantasy start against Green Bay. Delanie Walker did not look great last week at times, but he still came out of the game after missing practice on Friday with a groin pull. But he still came out of the game with a good fantasy performance, and the Packers have not been great against tight ends this year, especially having to use Micah Hyde at slot corner. You know, now they got to cover linebacker or cover tight ends with linebackers. It's a good spot for Delaney. Kendall Wright is still like a rotational receiver, and Mike Mularkey called him out for running a bad route that got Mariota intercepted last week. I struggle with guys that are like rotational receivers and don't see a lot of targets. Like, I know that Kendall Wright is good, but he's going to be really up and down in that kind of a role. At the same time, you know, this is about as good a matchup as you could get. So, I mean, I'd have no problem using Kendall Wright this week. Aaron Rodgers has been a fantasy juggernaut now in three straight games, 10-1 touchdown to interception ratio. During that stretch, the Titans pass rush doesn't work anymore. And they've given up four straight top 12 quarterback finishes to opposing signal callers. So really good looking matchup for Aaron Rodgers. The Titans also play a lot of zone in the back end, and the Packers receivers tend to struggle more against man teams. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see if the Titans try to play man against them. That's what some defenses will do is, you know, they'll play zone all year, and then they'll see the Packers on the schedule and they'll play man. We saw them do that a lot last year. And that has happened a couple times so far this year. But, you know, just looking at it on paper, based on what we know about both teams, really good matchup, I think, for Aaron Rodgers. Ty Montgomery was eased back in last week, but he still had 10 touches for over 90 yards. He is the Packers' primary running back. I don't know why some fantasy sites refuse to change his position, but he's a running back. I mean, he played 31 snaps last week. 20 of them were at running back. That's all you need to know. He is I would expect him to get more work this week. Jordy has been rolling. He's rolling again. And based on where he usually lines up, the Titans never move Jason McCourty. So Jordy should get a lot of Parrish Cox this week. And Parrish Cox, you know, puts money in our pockets. He gave up a touchdown to Tyrell Williams last week. Jordy should roll. Devonta Adams will get a little bit more of McCourty. You know, McCourty has not been great himself. He's the better Titans corner, but he's allowed. I think Pro Football Focus has charged him with like the 10th most or the 8th most receiving yards allowed in the league this year. So not too scary for Devonta Adams, who has 8 plus targets in 3 straight games. Richard Rodgers made some plays last week. He saw 10 targets. He came into that game with no games over 25 yards. So I'm not going to chase that. I think that there are better tight end streamers on the board elsewhere. Randall Cobb did not play in the first half and then comes out in the second half and plays, I think, like 20 snaps and scores a TD. I would expect him to be used a little bit more this week, but he's still risky. I mean, clearly he has a significant injury, or else the Packers would have played him the entire game, you know. So I don't know. I mean, monitor practice reports, but my guess is that it's just going to be limited questionable on Friday anyway, and we're really not going to know. And so that's going to make him a high risk fantasy play this week.
Last but not least here for part one, Evan, the game I will be at, Vikings-Redskins. Tell me what I need to know about that one.
Sorry, I'm blowing my nose here. This game has the second lowest total of the week. You know, the Vikings offense is just straight garbage. It's so bad. I mean, they can't run the ball at all. Their team yards per carry is the lowest since the AFL-NFL merger. Their passing game, I mean, it has to, due to their offensive line issues, they have to like condense their passing game, and everything's got to be ball out, quick, short, and it's going to have to be that way against the Redskins too, because the Redskins can rush the passer, and the Vikings can't protect at all. So what you have is a team that cannot run the ball and that cannot make plays in the vertical passing game whatsoever. And that's going to be a really, really bad offense. I mean, the Vikings right now are last in the NFL in yards per play. I think it's going to get worse. So, I mean, there were times last week, Ross, where, like, Ronnie Hillman looked like their best offensive player. The backfield is just – can't do anything with the backfield. You know, doesn't matter that the Redskins are bad in run defense. It was an even 3-way timeshare last week, and all the guys stink. Stephon Diggs gets the most slot routes in the Vikings pass catcher core. So he should be able to stay away from Norman on a good amount. I mean, he was the focal point of the Vikings offense last week. And I would expect that to remain the case. You know, quick hitters to Steph Diggs. That's going to be how they move the chains. And they need to get Rudolph more involved too. In Shermer's first game as the OC, Rudolph only had 3 targets. 2 of them were in the end zone, and he caught one. But he, I mean, he's got to be a bigger part. We saw Tyler Eifert just rip up the Redskins in London. So, I mean, they got to use Kyle Rudolph more. I don't know what else to say. Adam Thielen and Cordero Patterson are like the complementary Vikings receivers. If you're desperate, you can use Cordero Patterson.
What about the Redskins offensively against the Vikings defense, which hasn't been quite as good the last two games?
No, it hasn't. I mean, Eric Ebron tore them up last week. Golden Tate made a lot of plays. You know, of course, the game-winning touchdown, but I mean, he made a lot of plays before that, too. Theo Riddick broke off a long run against them. And then we saw them. I mean, they got manhandled the game before that in Chicago by Jay Cutler and Jordan Howard and all those guys. So, I mean, I think that we still fear the Vikings' perimeter cornerbacks for sure, Xavier Rhodes and Terrence Newman, who played well for the most part last week. But I think you could beat this team on the interior for sure. And that's where the Redskins have been beating teams in the passing game anyways, with a lot of Jordan Reed and a lot of Jamison Crowder. So I'm not using DeSean Jackson this week. I'm not using Pierre Garçon. But I think that Jordan Reed will be a super low-owned daily fantasy play this week with monster upside. Ebron tore up the Vikings. Zach Miller, the game before, tore up the Vikings. Jordan Reed has double-digit targets in three straight games. Love Jordan Reed in this spot. I mean, just the ball is going to be funneled in his direction. Jamison Crowder is a little tougher for me to trust. But, I mean, it even with Reed back in the last game, he was still a 70% player, and he went for over 100 yards in the second straight game. So he's been a guy that I've kind of struggled to get a handle on in terms of forecasting him ahead of time. He's obviously been good, and Kirk Cousins obviously trusts him. And he's got a better matchup than DeSean or Garçon. So I think if I'm just picking between these guys, I'm going to go with Crowder this week over DeSean or Garçon. And I'm not afraid to use Kirk Cousins against the Vikings either at this point, even with no Trent Williams. Their backup, Ty Nchiki, has played a lot over the last couple of years. He has not been a liability. So, and the rest of their offensive line is good. I think they're going to be fine without Trent Williams. I mean, he's a big loss for sure, but I think they're going to be okay. And their offense is just kind of designed to get it out of the quarterback's hands quickly anyway to negate the pass rush. So I think Kirk Cousins can have a solid game here. I really like the Redskins defense as a streamer. I think that they are my favorite streamer this week against this league-worst Vikings offense.
All right, Evan, that'll do it for part one. We will get to the late games and the Sunday and Monday nighters in part two. But now that everybody has all the wisdom for the early games, how about this wisdom? Using that knowledge at DraftKings.com. Look, here's my big pitch for DraftKings.com, if you guys are ready. If you listen to this podcast, you have got to be able to be in the top 50% of a bunch of random people, right? So why not try the 50-50 contests at DraftKings.com, where the top half of all the entries wins cash? How could you not be in the top 50%? If you're listening to this podcast, you're way ahead of a lot of the other people that enter those things. So don't wait. Start your new season at DraftKings.com now. Use the code FEAST and play free with your first deposit. That's code FEAST to play free for your share of over $100,000 in total prizes this weekend, only at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See the website for details. Speaking of details, how about the details over at FanVice.com? Your home for all your daily fantasy sports needs. Keep an eye out for my Tucker in the Trenches segment that you'll like. that will be on FanVice.com every week this NFL season. And make sure you follow them on Twitter, at FanVice DFS. I am stuffed, totally full from a part one feast, but I'll be ready a little after midnight for part two.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
I did it. I finally did it. I got a new car. I've been talking to you guys about it for a while. I got a new car. I needed one. My other one died. I got a new Denali, and I used TrueCar because why wouldn't I? I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for months now, and it's just a better experience. I mean, you're able to lock in the savings with a dealer on the website. They've got a huge certified dealer network. So if you're not sure how it works, you just go to the TrueCar website or you use the TrueCar app, and they've got this bell curve. It's a pricing curve that shows you exactly what that vehicle you want is going for in your local market. And then you can actually online connect with a TrueCar local certified dealer of your choosing, and you lock in the savings off the MSRP. You just go in, you hand them the certificate that you printed out off your computer, and boom, you're good to go. Over 2 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app to enjoy a better car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.